Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. It is God who arms you with strength and makes your way perfect. You want to have a good life, a successful life, a prosperous life? Well, look to God, because He's the one that makes your path perfect in everything you do. Praise the Lord. And it's not out of our own effort. Praise God. The verse that I've been using for the past 14 years since we've been called to freedom is, "For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." That opportunity for the flesh can be jealousy, it can be hate, it can be all kinds of things, but we're going to put the flesh down and we're going to love and serve one another. So good to have you join us today. You are a blessing to us, and I praise God for you. There's an acrostic that I quote every once in a while, and it's made up of the word joy. Joy, the J in joy is for Jesus. The O in joy is for others, and the Y is for you. I'm so grateful for you. I want you to know that you are thought of and prayed over all the time. I have, and now that Kimberly is here a little bit, we have such opportunity to pray over you in the receipt when the receipts go out. Mm-hmm. I pray over those receipts probably 3 or 4 times when I see your names coming through. And then when the express is due, we pray over you when we mail those expresses. So you get prayed for, especially as a power partner, mm-hmm. and a donator, a contributor to Call to Freedom, and I appreciate your love and your support so much. Our memory verse for this week is from the, and I'm going to use the Passion Translation today, Isaiah 9, verse 6. We are in the book of Isaiah in Word Power for Every Hour. We're going through the Bible this year, so I hope you're going with me. A child has been born for us. A son has been given to us, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Great and vast is his dominion. He will bring immeasurable peace and prosperity. He will rule on David's throne and over David's kingdom to establish and uphold it by promoting justice and righteousness from this time forward and forevermore. The marvelous passion that the Lord Yahweh, commander of the angel armies, says for his people is, "It is finished." It is finished. All that Jesus had to do is finished. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. You know why I love that is because we do have our struggles and our challenges. And we just heard Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth say that we would never take heavy coats and jackets and mittens to a tropical place.
That's right.
You want to pack for where you're headed. And if we're headed to heaven, we don't want to pack ourselves down with the things of this world that are unholy, the things that keep us away from God. Mm-hmm. We don't want to pack that and keep that so close to our hearts. And yet it's hard because we're born into this world. So everything that we see that everyone else is doing, the way they talk, the way that they run their business. And you know what? Sometimes that's not a very godly way of running the business, but that's how we've learned because we watched it. We grew up under it.
That's right.
And so we think it might be okay to just do it that way. Or the way that we don't prioritize God first. You know, we grow up in a world that's not prioritizing him. Oh, and so then we think it's okay because everybody else is doing it this way. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit of God on the inside of us leads us to pack our lives differently.
That's right.
We want to pack up differently so that we can be ready and to be with the things that are holy. Without holiness, we will not be able to enjoy heaven. We want to pack our lives full of the holy things, the things that are set apart, the things that are different. It makes us different. And the biggest qualification there is love. God's
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
And you were just reminding me that you remembered me looking up Reduce Me to Love. That's Joyce Meyer's book. Mm-hmm. Reduce Me to Love. It's her least read book. It's like it's like Christians and churches, well, we know about love.
Yeah,
we need to learn other things.
That's bottom line, what
wow.
we are here to learn
right?
about.
Yeah. We cannot know the depth of God's love. We cannot search it out enough to know the length or the height, the breadth of his love. We can't. It's too great. It's unfathomable.
We see in this world, Kimberly, so much fear. Fear in all shapes and sizes and different situations and issues. Fear, fear, fear. And, you know, even with this new mask thing going on, and a lot of people are rebelling. Nope, I'm not going to do that again. We realize that as you were speaking of 1 John 4:18, you were emphasizing the fact that perfect love casts out fear. So we don't know anything about perfect love because there's a lot of fear, even in the body of Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's a good point. Right.
A lot of fear.
Right.
So we're just on not even the threshold of learning about God's kind of love.
Yes. So we're going to keep talking about it.
Yeah. You can turn your dial if you think you've had enough of love. I haven't. I haven't had enough either.
No, the more I continue to study God's love and just really pick up on the verses of love in the Bible, the more full and satisfied, content. And then I even want more. I don't know, maybe I'm gluttonous, but I do want to learn more of this love, not just the songs that we sing or the poems that we continue to recite, the things that rhyme. It's so much more than that.
Yes.
This love, you're right, this perfect love casts out all fear. And so we want to learn how to walk in that love. It was Oswald Chambers who brought up the fact that if we have the awe of God or the fear of God in us, we won't fear anything else. And I connect the awe of God with the love of God because God is love.
Yes.
And we have lost our awe of that.
Yes.
The childlike awe and wonder of discovering this love, this new love around every corner we turn. And I want to stay in awe of his love.
Yes.
Because when we are in awe of that, we won't be afraid of anything. Perfect love does cast out all fear. But if we do not stay in awe of God, if we do not hook into his love, then we will be afraid of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
If we do not have the fear of the Lord, that's another way of putting the awe of God and really putting his love first, prioritizing his love. If we don't stay in awe of him, the King James Version says it's the fear of the Lord. That's how it words it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do not stay in fear of the Lord, we will fear everything else. And that's so true.
It is.
We see it all the time.
I wonder if people in their maybe ignorance are snubbing God. We don't need God. We've got all this technology. We don't need God. We have all the answers here. I think of 2 Corinthians 3, where God says, the reasoning of man, what he has learned on this earth, is foolishness to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolute foolishness.
And yet we have to go through those seasons, right? I mean, we read it over and over in the Bible, and that's what Israel would do. They would cling to God. God brings them to the promised land, and then they're like, oh, we have everything we need now.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't need you. So they'd think they didn't need God, and they would actually be pulling away from him, trusting in their own resources that they have in abundance because he gave that. And as they pull away from him, well, then they're finding themselves in a quandary. The enemies are coming in and stealing.
Yes.
So that's what happens when we pull away from God's love. The enemies of peace and dis-ease. Mm-hmm. See, God's yoke is easy. He wants ease for us.
Yes.
His burden is light. But the enemy of dis-ease, disease, and fear, and all these other enemies of stress, anxiety, frustration, anger, rage, these enemies will come at self-pity.
Oh, that's a big one.
It'll come in and wreck our lives until we join ourselves again, align ourselves once again, and become in agreement with God, who is love. Come back to him.
Yes,
amen.
Come
back to him. You know, and then we come back, and then all our needs are met again. And okay, I don't really need you. But
we get fat and sassy. Yeah.
We do these cycles until we become so tired of it that we get to that place where we say, okay, this is really it. Mm-hmm. This is it. I don't want anything else but you.
Mm,
you're all right. I want. You're all I've ever needed. His love is the greatest gift that is available to mankind. That gift of love.
Amen.
And when we are full of that love, and that love is coming through us, flowing through us, because we're the vessel for him. We're vessels for that love. That's what we were made to be. We weren't made for anything else, mm-hmm. but to contain God himself, and God is love.
Yes.
So as we are being that vessel for him, that love is released through us to others. So often we might bypass those gifts of love that come to us. You and I were talking earlier about how there are those in the South that show Southern hospitality. They're warmer,
they do. Yes.
They're friendlier, they're more kind than what you might see in the North.
And well, they show it. They mm-hmm. demonstrate it so much more.
It's true.
It's not that the Northern people or people of the Northern states don't have the love and the concern.
True.
But they... Wow, people from the South. Well, you know, it's like I told you before. In Dallas, when we used to go sing at churches, they were fixing to take you downtown to lunch.
Yes.
I mean,
wanting to
just,
take care of you.
That's
yes.
right, wanting to take care of you.
Yes. And we don't know. We were trying to talk about that, and I don't mm-hmm. want to take up time on the air, but where that came from, if it's traditional, something that was passed down, you know? And there are those of us who really balk at the idea of tradition. Mm-hmm. We don't like it, and we get resistant. We want to break tradition. Mm-hmm. But we can find God in tradition. If his love is being poured out in us and we're the vessel of love for him, that fire will not be quenched. It won't be put out by tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Tradition right. will actually add to the fire if you can find something in that tradition that looks like God
mm-hmm.
and cling to that. Cling to the things that look like him.
That's like parts of the law, Kimberly, add to the new covenant that we are learning about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It adds to it, the fullness. There's just a fullness of it, which I'm so grateful for. And that's why in our Word Power, we read Old Testament and New Testament every day. So we get a good balance of who God is in the Old Testament. And he's such a, we think of, he's a God of judgment in the Old Testament.
No,
he isn't. He's such a God of love. I have yeah. loved you with an everlasting love.
We talked about that a little bit last week mm-hmm. and how for me, reading the Old Testament is an adventure. It for me, it's a mystery. I get to go in and solve some mysteries and look at it and find out, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like you now in the New Testament, but you are the same. God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, because your word says that.
That's right.
So show me how this is your grace in the mm-hmm. Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Show me this. I want to see this. And one of those things was the animal sacrifices. I had a hard time with that for a lot of years. But God showed me that he was meeting us right where we were at.
Amen.
We
yes.
were the ones who instituted sacrifice, mm-hmm. not him. He didn't institute that. That was not initiated by him. He didn't start it. That was initiated by man. We were the ones that started killing, not him. But he met us there. Okay, if that's not grace, I don't know what grace really is. If that's not love and kindness, then I don't know what love and kindness really is. Meeting somebody right where they're at, in the middle of their mess, even if they're killing, murdering, wow, and loving them right there, giving them instruction, trying to show them the way back to love. That's beautiful. That's amazing.
It is. It truly is. In Isaiah 16 that I was reading today, Kimberly, God is just bringing judgment on all these countries that are destroying Israel and coming and teaching Israel idolatry in a horrible form and sacrificing their children. And Israel had taken up the gauntlet of sacrificing their children and doing evil things. And God is saying here in Isaiah 16, if you don't mind me just reading a few things. When they see the impossibility of living under a Moabite or a Philistine or a Syrian domination, God says here in verse 4 of Isaiah 16, one day, God is saying here, remember, one day the oppressor will be no more. Mm. And you're seeing that in Israel today. When you went to Israel, you're saying that. One day the oppressor will be no more. The destroyer will come to an end, and the tyrant will vanish from the land. Mm. He's promising that for Israel. And then he says, then a government of unfailing love will be established with a faithful, and I capitalize the K, king in the tabernacle of David, passionate for justice and swift to do what is right.
Oh,
right there, a promise.
Okay, don't turn your page there, because we'll come back to that. Because I want to apply that to us in our everyday life. The oppressors are the thoughts in our minds, the thoughts that limit us, that keep us insecure, full of stress and anxiety, make us feel like we are not enough, that we're not worthy. And those are the oppressors. They're after us all the time.
Yes.
All the time. And we feed them. We end up feeding those oppressors. Mm-hmm. We end up paying attention to those oppressors.
Yeah, if we don't cast them down, if we don't cast those thoughts down, yes, we feed on that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
All
day long. We need to learn to take every thought captive into the obedience of Jesus Christ. And this will happen. See, now the destruction that happens. I can tell you that when we went through bankruptcy, that did not feel like God's kindness.
Yes.
And yet, after we got through it, and a few years later, I could look back and call it his kindness. Thank you, God, that you did something to destroy an enemy. We were consumed by what we wanted our credit score to look like, how much we wanted in our savings by a certain age. We were so stressed by those things, and they were our God.
That's right.
They were our idol. And when it was taken down, we enjoyed the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
We enjoyed his ease, the yoke that is easy and his burden that is light. And because we were able to enjoy that, I could look back and say, that was your kindness to lead us to that place of bankruptcy.
Yes. And for all of you who are looking, striving for a good credit score, because I have had in my life a great credit score, then I've had a very low credit score, and now I've got a high credit score again. I do not live for that. Because you know what a credit score is for, Kimberly?
To get another loan.
That's right. That's right. A credit score is there to get another loan so you can be under bondage one more time.
And do you know?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Isn't it wonderful to know that God's provision is not dependent on your credit score?
That's right.
And that's what we learned.
When we had a really low, and I mean in the 600s, low credit score, we still got...
I'm sorry, I've got you beat.
Oh,
down
do
in the 300s.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We could still get a vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean... But it's just ridiculous.
The provision of God is not dependent on that at all.
No.
God's provision, he comes through for us. We don't need any kind of a score at all for him to come through. We have some friends whose credit score is the lowest you could possibly imagine because they pay everything in cash.
Oh, good.
They have no credit score.
That's great.
But God has provided for them to pay everything in cash.
Yeah. I still ask when we go to some place to eat sometimes or some other place, do you still take cash? Oh, yes, we still take cash.
That's interesting. Yeah. But it was back in high school that I remember grappling with the idea of God's kindness when I didn't feel like the things happening around me were always kind. Mm-hmm. And there was a song that had come out. And it was based on the scripture, "It's your kindness that leads us to repentance, O God."
Oh, yes.
And that song, I would just sing it over and over. "It's your kindness that leads us to repentance, O God." Our repentance brings us back to love, mm-hmm. brings us back to love
mm-hmm.
himself. God is love, and our repentance brings us back into that love. The kindness of God, it can take a lot of different forms. I've chosen to believe it takes a lot of different forms, that sometimes the kindness feels really ouchy. It doesn't feel good. And yet it's kindness to help me let go of what I might be thinking. A really small example is the way that I have eaten most of my life. It was way back. I think I was a young teenager. 13, 14 years old. I was very, very, I was young when we discovered that a lot of different foods were hurting my body. And you helped me so greatly by cooking different for me. You bought so many things differently. You changed up the way we were doing meals so that I could have mostly vegetables mm-hmm. and everything fresh, not very many fruits. We were careful about the fruit intake.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And very few meats, but the meats that I did have were fish or white meat, chicken, mm-hmm. and no red meats at all. So we changed things up. No breads, no milks, no cheeses.
And some of you are going,
how did you actually survive? Mm-hmm. And yet that became my lifestyle at such a young age that I stayed with it for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Up until really recently, when the Lord started asking me, sometime within the last couple of years, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, "Do you really need to have control of this? Or can I have control of this?"
Oh, you hit a great thing, Kimberly, because then we take control over something for the rest of our lives. And it's just a season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a season
yeah.
that he's brought us through. And then we can change and transition into something greater and higher.
Right. So Isaiah 16, right? Verse 4, uh-huh. Wherever you were reading about uh-huh. the freedom, the government that comes, that is freedom to us. Read that again.
Oh, it's verse 5 of Isaiah 16. Then a government, can you imagine our government made up of unfailing love? No, we can't imagine that right now.
See, this is a new control.
Yeah.
It's a new way to be controlled.
Mm.
It's by love.
By love. It will be established with a faithful king. He's not going to be going back and forth and wishy-washy, huh? He's a faithful king in the tabernacle of David, passionate for justice and swift to do what is right.
Mm, I love that.
I do too.
And as we allow ourselves to be vessels for him, to pour out his power, his love, his new government in us, mm-hmm. then we will not be afraid of anything that comes our way. Love right. is greater than all other things.
It is.
And love does not hold on to knowledge. It doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
Because knowledge puffs up.
And knowledge will eventually pass away.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And love does not hold on to the idea of what we think the future is going to look like, you know, being able to see into the future, prophetic things. Love doesn't hold on to that. Mm-hmm. Love doesn't hold on to anything in the past. Mm-hmm. Love forgives.
Yes.
Forgives and forgets.
Amen.
Love is greater than faith. Faith without love is nothing. Our faith can move mountains and it's still nothing without love. Letting love be what moves us, the movement in us. Ephesians 3:17 and 19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts richly by faith. Okay, it starts talking about faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length, the height and the depth of this love. Mm-hmm. So Ephesians, we see it all the time. You start talking about faith, but it's nothing without love. You've got to be rooted and grounded in love.
Mm, amen. Praise the Lord. So we could go to first, and I'm including me, folks. We can go to 1 John 4 and just read that chapter over and over and over again, because precious John has a chapter here on love that surpasses anything on love that I've read in the Word. It's just so condensed. It's so beautiful. He's talking about being able to discern spirits, those who are false spirits and those who are righteous, because greater is he, you know the verse, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Then goes on into explaining the love that I believe, Kimberly, John was one man who understood God's love.
Well, to, at least enough of it to put some in words.
That's right.
Yes.
So we can.
But how do we ever find the depth of it, the width, the height, the breadth of his love? How do we ever find it? And in this body, just as John had just his body here on earth, we are absent from our master. When we're at home in this body, we're homesick to be with the master of love.
Homesick.
Yes. And when we recognize that, we start hungering and thirsting for more of him, more of his love. Be hungry today as you walk with him. Be hungry, because the Bible tells us that if you will hunger and thirst, you shall be filled.
Yes. Amen. You shall be filled. Thank you, Kimberly. And thank you, Father, for filling us with your love today as we have listened to these precious scriptures and this precious word. God bless all of those listening, and I praise you and thank you for the love permeating through these lines in Jesus' name. Oh, folks, I just pray that you will be well today and that you will take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.